because we're still going to be doing booklet number 2, and here Pesiyat Hashmaya is number 3. So did I ever give you back number 4 of, here, here we go. Thank you. I think it has all the pages. I got mixed up somewhere, but I think it has all the pages. Okay, so Be'ezer Hashem, we're up to a very important yisod in Hatmana that brings us back to Sifches. And that is back to the Hagdara of Hatmana. What qualifies as Hatmana in terms of the proximate distance as well as the amount of space that the Dover HaMatmin covers on the pot. Before we do that, I remembered that there was something that one of the Avrichim said that wasn't clear from last time. We had spoken in regards to aluminum, silver foil, and we had mentioned two issues in regards to silver foil. One was whether silver foil qualifies as a Dover HaMatmin altogether. There's a lot of give and take, both during and after, whether it qualifies, which we saw as a machlokes between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. So that remains as stated. Even though I thought that there was a lot in Rav Moshe Shita to be choshesh for, I did not mean to say that when it comes to silver foil, if the silver foil is wrapping kugel and the intention is to separate the kugel from the chalent, then of course it's going to be mutter. In other words, our whole discussion is within those who say that tinfoil is aser in a case of where you're using the tinfoil to insulate. But if you're using a tinfoil primarily to separate, then in such a case, halacha is that it's going to be permissible. By the way, what we presented is a lenient shita. I think it's called in the name of Rav Eliyashiv that you need to make holes in the silver foil. But going according to our Masorah from Rav Shlomo Zalman, it definitely should be mentioned as well. But I think it would be fine then to do it in such a manner. And the debate with the silver foil continues. My wife and I were trying to be mefalpel over Shabbos. Exactly what does silver foil do? Why do women in the kitchen choose to use silver foil over other means? But that debate, that discussion could continue. What we need to pick up with in Reishon and Zayin Ches is, as we said, the Hagdara of Hatmana. And over here we have something that we had skipped last time, intentionally. And that is that the Mechaber here says that you have a problem of Hatmana if you have the food on top of the fire and the begadim on top of it. But the Mechaber says we have an Eitza, Umihu, 3 lines into Sifches, Koshu v'inyan shein ha-begadim noigim b'kedera, if the garments, the covers, don't touch the kedera, afal pishiyesh eish tachtel, even though there's fire underneath, kivan she'ein osan derech hatmana, shari, since you're not doing it derech hatmana, it's going to be permissible. Hilka checha shemami kedera gavikiro kupach she'esh bo gacholim, ve'ein shulei ha-kedera nogim b'gacholim, shihu mikru mutar al pi adrochim shenisbaru. So of course, this is the Mechaber Shita, whereas in general he's machmer any time the kedera touches the gacholim. We saw, of course, as we delineated last time, that the Ramah disagrees. But here we have a very, very important yisod. And that is that if the Dover HaMatmin is not touching the kedera, so then in such a case, that would be acceptable. Similarly, says the Mechaber, v'nasam ha-kedera kli rachav, she'en noge b'tzide ha-kedera. V'nasa begodim al osa kli rachav mutter, v'kimen she'en ha-begodim nesun el al osa kli rachav, she'en noge b'tzide ha-kedera, en kan ha-kmana. If you put a board, we drew this on the whiteboard, last time, you put a board, and then you place the blankets on top, so then in such a case, that's not going to be considered hatmana. Now, within the early poskim, it's very, very vague what the hagdara of hatmana b'miktsas that's going to be acceptable for the Ramah is, as well as what is the amount of distance that one needs for the Mechaber. Even the Mechaber says the moment in which there is distance between the Davar HaMatmin and the Kedera, then in such a case it's going to be permissible. So to this day, it's something that's quite unclear. The best Hagdara I saw, which doesn't come from a posek that necessarily everybody follows, but the clearest Hagdara I photocopied from you in booklet number 3 from Rabbi Ribiat. I like his formulation. Of course, this formulation being within the Ramah. The Ramah who says a hatmana b'miksas is considered not hatmana. So here, Rabbi Ribiat on page 68 has a very good hakdara. Only total enwrapment can be classified as hatmana. By the way, not everybody's going to agree with this, and we're going to have to go back to Mishnah Berurah and see the falpa within the Mishnah Berurah. But in terms of if you want to jump to halacha l'maisa, someone who gives you a l'chala pachos is a clear hakdara. In other words, as late as Rav Moshe Feinstein or Shlomo Zalman, I couldn't find a clear hagdara of what qualifies A as hatmana b'miktsas, and B, what qualifies as the appropriate distance from the pot. So let's take a look at Rabbi Ribiat's crunch. This means that hatmana is only prohibited when the pot or food is totally covered by the insulating material. Covering even most of the surface of the hot container is permitted, as long as a significant area is left exposed. So his yesod is that you need a significant area that's exposed. And what is significant? So he even defines what significant is. Significant in this context means an uninsulated area that is larger than that would be acceptable for insulation purposes if the restriction of atmana was not a consideration. In other words, you wouldn't insulate the food that way. You wouldn't normally put it in that manner. Rav Nevin Sal Shlita told me years ago, I asked him about it again, and he responded in his more characteristic response of Eni Yodea, but in the past I have written down from him years ago that he told me Rov Bitzad Echad is going to be the Hagdara, that you would have Rov on one side, that would be enough according to the Ramah. Obviously, you could be mefalto. Rinsal in some cases might be more chomer than Rabbi Ribiat. In some cases, Rabbi Ribiat's hagdara a little bit more chomer. But I have to say that there isn't a very clear hagdara from the earlier poskim. Now, within the Mishnah Berurah, of course, there is a kasha that Rav Rubin in his beautiful sefer Orchos Hashabbos deals with in terms of what is the Hagdara within the Mishnah Berurah. There seems to be a stira both in the Mishnah Berurah as well as in the Chai Adam. So in the Mar Mekomos, I gave you also the Chai Adam's Mar Mekomos. We'll deal with the same stira appears in the Mishnah Berurah, and the same possible teretz that Rav Rubin gives, one could suggest in the Chai Adam as well. Yes, Rav Yehuda.
You're allowed to cover up the entire top as long as you leave the sides open, or you also need to leave some of the top open?
Oh, so the Ramah in Reish Nun Gimel said as long as the top is open, that's going to be enough. So it's quite clear, according to the Ramah, that all you need is the top. All you need is the top. That, of course, is going to be relevant in regards to a crock pot. But that's clear in the Ramah. The question is only whether even less than that would be acceptable in the Ramah. So that's how I understood what Rav Nevin was saying, that the Ramah was lav dafka, that the top was megula, that let's say you had the top that was the rov was megula, it seemed to me from the way I understood from Rav Nevin years ago that would be correct. What happened was, this time around, when I showed Rav Nevin the steerers of Mishnah Berurah, it began to be mefalto, so then that's kedarko l'kodesh, the moment in which you bring someone else big in the room. So then he becomes very, very humble. So that's my read on why he said to me Eini Yodea. In other words, I think the Mishnah Rishon is still Omid B'Mekomo as being a basic Hagdara. Yeah.
Just what Rabbi just said, mm-hmm. It's clear in the Ramah, all you need is the top.
Right.
Isn't there sad to say that he only said Megula? It's only okay if it's Megula when also the sides? Meaning in that case, is the sides weren't Mechusa. So meaning maybe he would say you also.
I didn't read the Ramah that way. You'll show me.
No, meaning in that case it wasn't.
That wasn't the case. I thought that was the right way to read the Ramah. But we could go back with pleasure, and that was I thought the correct case. The Ramah over here by us in Mem Gimel seems to have a very the Mishnah Berurah. Excuse me, Mishnah Berurah by us in Mem Gimel has a very stringent Hagdara. It seems. He says, Amnam, first word of the line is Mashi Yismachu, all the way at the end of Mem Gimel, says, Amnam im nosein chol al gabe hatanur, afal pi she'ein matmin kulo besolcho. If you put chol, that's adavar ha mosif hevel, in the tanur, or you could say the tanur itself is adavar ha mosif hevel, rak sheshulei hakadera omdin b'chol, but all you have is the walls of the kedera that are sitting in the chol. Ulemala mechusa begadim agave kedera bevadei asur shechol hu mehadvarim hamosif in hevel. That's not going to be acceptable because here the Mishabura says the chol is mosif hevel. Vegazrinan shema yatmin bokulo, and we're afraid he's going to be matmin all of it.
What is chol exactly?
Chol is a sand. And the Mishnah says that's most of Hevel.
Is it like the same kind of sand we have today?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know if it applies to all sand today. So here is Mashma, that when we're talking about if you've been maimited b'davar ha-most of Hevel, so the halacha is that even if part of it is in the chol, the halacha is that it's going to be considered a davar hamosif hevel. Yet there are other Mishnah Berurahs that seem to be more makel. The Mishnah Berurah in Reish Nun Gimel Sifkatan Samach Tes. He says, "V'im." At the end of Samach Tes, v'meino tamun heitev besochem, shu pasuach milamala shari dezelo mikri hamatmana. This gets back to Rav Shai, your point. In a case of where it's megula milamala, so then it's enough. It's not called hatmana, and he claims that that's the position of the Ramah as we have presented earlier. So this is a kasha in terms of the Mishnah Berurah. I'm bringing out is that it actually is quite. It's quite hard to pin down the shita of the Mishnah Berurah. There seem to be places that there seems to be more machmer than others. So Rav Rimon actually alludes to this, just in only b'derech remez, but Rav Rubin in Orcha Shabbos says something I was thrilled to see, which I thought was the yishuv in the stira, is that it could very well be that it depends on the answer to the stira in the Mishnah Berurah, which is also the answer to the stira in the Chachmas Adam as well, is that it depends on what we're talking about. Are we talking about hatmana b'dover she'ena mosif hevel? Or are we talking about hatmana b'dover ha-mosif hevel? If we're talking about hatmana b'dover she'ena mosif hevel, so then in such a case, then there would be room to say that as long as you don't have rov, then in such a case, it's going to be acceptable. Not only that, as long as you have part, that's as Ribiat Hagdara, as long as it's not the normal way to be matmin, that would be enough. However, when it comes to a Dover HaMosif Hevel, so then in such a case you need a Dover HaMosif Hevel, then in such a case you need that the majority of it be revealed. If the majority of it is not revealed, then in such a case that would be a problem. So I was thrilled to see that Rav Rubin says this in a letter to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and most postmodernists, if you will, think that Rav Shlomo Zalman actually agreed with Rav Rubin's Hagdara. If you take a look at the fourth to last page in booklet number 2, so he mentions this stira and Os Gimel, and he says Mekol Makom Yesh Lechor Lechalik Bein Hatmana B'Davar Mosif Hevel Bein Hatmana B'Davar Shein Mosif Hevel. So when do we have in Reish Nun Zayin that the Mishnah Berurah is mashma, even if you have it partially mutman, that's going to be problematic? So that was by a davar mosif hevel. In Reish Nun Gimel, that was by a davar she'ena mosif hevel. What's the actual svara? He says, when it comes to a davar she'ena mosif hevel, the davar she'ena mosif hevel killed tvei, v'lo asru ad she'tia k'derem mutman es kula, fi she'en chol magil k'derem achmas ha'begadim. When it comes by a davar she'ena mosif hevel, that in itself is not so hot. So the moment in which you're doing it already in a slightly unorthodox way, then in such a case it's going to be enough to remove hatmana. Ma'she'en ken kishematmen b'davar ha-mosif hevel, d'achon b'me ha-remetz chomir tvei. And this, he suggests, is going to be the yishuv of the Mishnah Berurah. He suggests it's also the yishuv of the Chaya Adam. And this is in the give and take with Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal in regards to a crockpot. And Rav Shlomo Zalman runs with this in regards to a crockpot, because Rav Shlomo Zalman assumes that crockpot is going to be a major problem even though the top is uncovered. So it's not muchrach. It's a very short, I told you, this was Rav Shlomo Zalman's last psak. Rav Shlomo Zalman's actual psak appears in Tuf Kuf Mem Beis, the next page in the booklet number 2. It's as well summarized by Rav Nemensal. First, let's see Rav Nemensal Shlita's summary about Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak, and then we'll get involved with the details. So once again, just to crunch what we have up until now, Rabbi Ribiat gives us a general hagdara. Rabbi Ribiat doesn't deal with the stira in the Mishnah Berurah. As far as, Rabbi Ribiat in the actual text, Rabbi Ribiat actually quotes Rav Rubin in his letter to Rav Shlomo Zalman in the back of the Sefer. In the Sefer itself, I didn't notice. If someone does, let me know. The Rabbi Ribiat makes the chiluk between the two, between the Dabra Mosavel, Dabra Shein Mosavel. I didn't notice Rabbi Ribiat making that chiluk. He does, again, quote it in the back of his Sefer. The general Hagdara makes a lot of sense. The problem is when you get stuck into the Chaya Adam and the Mishnah Berurah, it could very well be that by a Dabra Mosavel, we're going to be more likely to be machmir. Now what we're going to do is say, aha, okay, so this was the letter that Rav Rubin Shlita sent to Rav Shlomo Zalman in Tavshin Nunhei. And the letter that he sent to him was that he thought that there's a lot of reasons that crockpot should be usur, and it had been reported that Rav Shlomo Zalman had been makel in regards to a crockpot. So we're going to see Rav Shlomo Zalman's response. We're going to see how Rabbi Rubin summarizes the approaches of Rav Yashiv Zatzal and Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, and then we'll see what comes out in terms of, for us, in terms of lahalacha. Yeah?
I don't understand where the hysteria is.
So you don't see it?
No, because in Rishon Zai, he talking, says that it's in the Bosi Devil on the bottom, and the top is covered.
Right.
And in Rishon Gimel, the top is not covered.
Yeah, but he...
And actually, it sounds very much like the other realm.
No. Over here in Mem Gimel, it's clear that he's describing a case in which you have something that. Right. So
you. So the sides are uncovered.
Right.
The sides are uncovered, but the top is totally covered.
Yeah, but now the shayla, we're being magdir, what's considered being matmim b'davar mosif hevel.
He said it follows mosif hevel.
Yeah, so he says it's considered as if you've done hatmanu with mosif hevel. Wait a second, but the majority is not the most, but it's not all the way up in chol. It's only a little bit in chol. Yet nevertheless, he says, that's enough to be considered hatmanu b'davar mosif hevel.
Because it's totally covered on the top.
Oh, okay. So what you just said is what Rav Ozner responds to Rav Rubin. Rav Ozner suggests that it could be that it's not the same thing because we're talking about a davar mosif hevel that's surrounded by blankets. If you take a look, he suggests that he doesn't like the answer at all. It's on the next page after Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak. Rav Ozner on Tav Kuf Mem Gimel in Rav Rubin's sefer, he says Ein Ze Nachon Klal. He says something very similar to what you're saying. But I didn't think it would make a difference. Because at the end of the day, the question is this called whether you're being matmin b'davar mosif hevel or you're not? That's what we're trying to define. So he says, even though the minority is a davar mosif hevel, nevertheless, it's still going to be problematic. Okay, well, that we could be mefalpa with later on. I'm not the only one to ask this kasha. There are many who ask the kasha. You're right to say that the chiluk is not muhrach. There might be room to say that it's not a kasha. I think it is a quite a stira. But either way, okay. So let's continue on as far as the crockpot is concerned. Mashma even if the majority of the sides are covered, that's still going to be a problem. By the way, I don't know if we're going to get through today, but Reish Nun Ches Beis also is mashma that you could be makel if a minority of it is covered as well. If you take a look in Beis, it sounds like when you have the bottle, there the halach is as long as a minority of it is not covered in the hot water, then in such a case it's going to be mutter. So Rishon Ches Beis also, it seems to be that that will be the halacha. Okay, in regards to the crock pot. So Rav Shlomo Zalman responded to Rav Rubin's letter, and he said, "Lo reisi bazeh shum heter, va'ad rabba, daiti maskemas ledvarav." Rav Rubin wanted to be machmir. "Tekimen shakterim avtavshon lechusam utmenes kula oruba betoch machshir achim lechashmeli." And I verified. I'm so ignorant. Just in the mitzvahs, the crock pot itself is not only that the bottom is hot, but also the sides as well are mosif hevel as well. So it's exactly as Rav Shlomo Zalman assumed, that the machshir chimum chashmali is a problem. Ein miut avir shebeinim nechshev ken metmenes. Now he concedes that even though we learned in Sif Ches that as long as you have space in between, that's going to be enough. However, he says this is insignificant. Why? Kivan shekachi derech levashel v'gambi mosachol. I'll prove to you that this is not hatmana, because this is a normal way you cook, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. So this is, you can't say that this is not the normal way to insulate. You know, you have to do something that's not the normal way of insulating. So the fact that there's a tiny bit of space between the pot and the insulator, that's not going to be enough to be matir. Udati areza choshev mamish hatman b'davar asif hevel ve'en lahaka afilu b'mevashel called Sarko. Okay, I skipped Rav Nevensal's quote from it, but Rav Nevensal also quotes it as well. Kanire that Rav Nevensal had seen Rav Shlomo Zalman's tshuva. He had heard it from him directly, because when I showed it to him last week, he spent a long time reading every single word carefully. I think he was very happy. He had never seen it b'chsav. It coincidentally, it's the last tshuva that Rav Shlomo Zalman written, and the last thing that Rav Nevensal had heard in his learning from Rav Shlomo Zalman, except when he visited him the hospital in Shari Tzedek when he was sick. So Rav Shlomo Zalman asked him, this was the last thing he heard from him, it was right here. So he asked him, how could it possibly be that you have two babies born on the same day and their bris would be at different times? So Rav Shlomo Zalman had a shita that it depended on where you were and whether they're shki or not. So you could have someone who, the woman gave birth on one of the upper floors, and you could still see the sun. And on the lower floors, you can no longer see the sun. So that's a wild shita that Rav Shlomo Zalman had, that's possible in two places, that shkia is going to be at different times. I haven't wrapped my mind around that psak entirely, but that was the last psak. Nachzor l'inyaneinu. So this is the Rav Shlomo Zalman's shita in regards to krakpat. And therefore, his only suggestion is that one place a pach, an insert, inside of the crock pot. And then in such a case, then it would not have hatmana. By the way, I would add, l'aniyas daiti, that insert should not be something like silver foil, because according to our chshash, this is my chshash, that silver foil is a davar hamatmin, then I think it's yotza eschara be'efseido, if the pach that you're putting inside is going to be something itself that's a dover hamatmin. So l'aniyas daiti, it should not be silver foil, but Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that would be, that's what should be put inside, and I have concerns about putting silver foil in for that dover hamatmin, because I don't think you really accomplished anything. So what emerges from Rav Shlomo Zalman's yisod is actually quite beautiful, with what we saw that Rav Rubin had said as well. And that is, that's simply saying that the top is Megula by a Dover HaMosef Hevel, Rav Shlomo Zalman's adding, in case of a crockpot, where it's a derech to be mevashel in such a manner, that's not going to be enough. Other poskim disagreed. There were Mekilim who said that at the end of the day, the Ramah said that if the top is Megula, then it's going to be mutter. So by a crockpot too, the pot is Megula, and then in such a case, it'll be mutter. By the way, of course, if the crockpot has knobs, so then in such a case, we're also going to have to get back to Shihi and Nazara. But before we go on, it would be important that the knobs should also be covered as well. What's much more common than Rav Shlomo Zalman's path, I don't know anybody who designed such a path to put into the krakpat is the etza that Rabbi Yashiv had given, which it seems that Rav Shlomo Zalman did not agree with. That's how Rav Rubin, who heard the psak from both of them, or knew the psak from both of them, perceived it. Rav Rubin does an excellent summary, Rav Rubin and Rav Gelber, in Archa Shabbos, in Perek Beis. It's in your booklet, in number 2, the fifth last to last page. Oz Ha'ara Gimel. He just says, L'bishuli ti, bidin sir l'bishuli ti, with a slow cooker, so then Re'e Ha'ara, and there he does a beautiful summary of what he quoted from Rav Shlomo Zalman in the back of the Sefer, as well as Rav Yashiv's position. As well known, Rav Yashiv suggested that one put things on the bottom of the crockpot, which causes the crockpot to be raised up. And once the crockpot is raised up, so then two things are going to happen. Number one is the crockpot's not going to be sitting directly on the Dovra HaMatmin. So then, for Rav Yashiv, that's enough to be considered that side is not mutman, because that's exactly what we saw in Sif Ches, that the halacha is that once you have a break, so then that's going to be enough. Also, I'm not sure if Rav Rubin spells this out, but anybody who's done it, it depends on the size of the rocks that you put in between the pot and the insulative material. What you'll see is that the entire pot is raised, and thereby the space from between the walls and the side is also going to grow. Once you've raised it up, it's not going to fit as snugly, and therefore Rav Yashiv suggests that would be the Eitzah. It's clear that Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't give that Eitzah, and he insisted on the insert, because he felt that at the end of the day, simply putting an inch between the insulative pot, the insulator, and the pot itself is not going to be enough to be considered a break for Hatmanit. Just creating an inch is not going to be considered enough of a break. He says at the end of the day, that's still going to be considered Derech Bishul. Kimdumani, that a lot of the world follows Rav Yashiv's Eitza. And one could use different items. I would recommend not to use silver foil on the bottom of the pot, to use something else, because again, what one is trying to do is not to have something that insulates in between, but something else that doesn't serve as an insulative material. Now, if you fold it over silver foil many, many times, so then that'll be a different eitzah. Then the silver foil is almost serving like a brick. I don't think it depends on how you're folding up the silver foil. Anything that is put in between the two that's going to raise it up, that's kimdumani, that this is the eitzah that many follow, those who use a crock pot. Yeah.
Why does it matter if they're official? That's mana, it's not official. Mana is something specific. So if it's raised, then it's really not touching the size, like by Rav Shlomo Zalman.
I think what Rav Shlomo Zalman means, we're going to see shortly, eventually, if we're going to get to it today, is that when it comes, that you're 100% right. There are cases where Derech Bishul is dafka mutter. So Rav Shlomo Zalman does not mean, what he means is the Derech Lahatmin. That's what he means when he says Derech Bishul. It says Derech Bishul, he means this is the normal way to be matmin this type of food. And the whole, all the heterim that we had from Chazal are all things that's not the Derech to be matmin. And he feels that all of these small changes are not going to be enough to break the Derech to be mapped. And that's how I understand the words that he's saying as far as Derech Bishul. We'll get to why you're 100% right that other types of Derech Bishul would be mutter. By the way, also, Rav Nemetzal always told me that he was mitzdayer, that Rav Shlomo Zalman, it pained him that he had to come out the Chumra, but at the end of the day, this is what emerged. Okay, so that's as far as Rav Yashiv's position. Now, some of the other Avrichim Yeshua.
How is this different than the insert?
What the insert does is it's not the derech to be matmin at all with that insert. So let's say you took an insert that was made out of some type of palata, a tile. Let's say you took something that was similar to a tile. So then you're actually going to really significantly break the natural heat that goes between the two, and it's no longer the derech to be matmin. In contrast to just raising it up a little, that's not going to be enough. That's the difference between the insert and the other things. Yeah.
And the crock pot, I understand. The cover of the crock pot is its cover, so that's not hadman.
Right.
So isn't it considered totally uncovered on top?
Yes. Yes.
So why, even because it's most available, it would be, even though it's totally uncovered, when you say it's hadman?
Correct. In other words, I'm glad you repeated that point. I thought I said before, but I'll repeat your point and then even add. We pointed out that that according to the Ramah, leaving aside Rav Shai's reading of the Ramah, but according to the Ramah, the halacha is that once you have the kisui that's the top is megula, then it's going to be mutter. By the way, I want to add, when it comes to crock pot, also the lip over the crock pot is also megula. That's another thing that you have going. This is the insulative material. This is the actual crock pot itself. This is the pot. Okay, so the pot goes over a little bit as well. So there is not only this is how the pot inside works, looks. So not only do you have the top magula, you even have a little bit over here. That's also magula as well. Okay, but for Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliyashiv, that doesn't seem to be enough. I could hear someone to simply say that that's going to be enough. Their concern is, in Rav Eliyashiv's language, you need... I think Rav Eliyashiv's concern and Rav Shlomo Zalman's are slightly different. Shlomo Zalman's concern is that this is derech hatmana, and therefore it's going to be usher. And if you're just going to follow technically what Chazal said, that's not going to be enough. That's, I think, what comes down to Rav Shlomo Zalman said. Rav Eliyashiv seems to be taking more into account of how much of it is insulated. He holds that the top is not going to be enough, possibly because we had argued when it comes to a Dovr HaMos of Hevel, so then in such a case you need more than just the top. And therefore, he says, if you're going to put rocks over here, okay, so now you could count all of this as being not mutman, all the top not being mutman, and I even argue that there's room to say area over here is not going to be mutman. So that solved everything for Rav Eliyashiv. That's for Rav Eliyashiv, correct? That, by the way, if you want to see that inside, not, all this should be in quotes. Torah Shebichsav. This is the page right before the letter he sends to Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's the footnote in Orcha Shabbos. It's right before you see a letter. Right before that. Okay, the page before, that's where it comes out. Yeah?
Basically, we said, according to our Feinstein about a thermos,
mm-hmm.
would he say that this is not Hatmana because of the top? Just like he said in the thermos, the cover is not Hatmana, even though the sides, even if you say the sides are Hatmana, although that's not mostly Hatmana.
Rav Moshe's svara was that when you close it, you're closing it l'shomra, right?
So that's what I'm putting the top on here.
Yeah, right. But
this
right.
is Mosif Hevel.
It's Mosif Hevel, and that's an Ein Mosif Hevel, correct? That would be the chiluk between the two. In other words, if you want to reconcile Rav Moshe with them, correct, that would be the distinction between the two. Okay, so that's in regards to the actual issue of Hatmanis. A couple of Avrechim had asked me in regards to Hachzara. They had pointed out that L'chura Hachzara is also an issue. If a person, and we're going to have to discuss this in Hilchos Bishul, the phenomenon of taking out Shulant on Friday night. So you're caught between two issues when it comes to taking out Shulant on Friday night. If you're going to take the pot off the fire and then put it back, if the food hasn't been entirely cooked, so then in such a case you're going to have a problem of Bishul by putting it back onto the fire, leaving outside Hatzara. And then, when it comes to scooping it out, there's a shaila about scooping from something that's on the fire. So how to go about that shaila? Mirtz Hashem, stay tuned. We're gonna deal with that. But let's say someone takes the food off the fire. One of the Avrechim described to me, you take the food off the fire for the cholent for Friday lunch. And then, you want to put it back, b'tnai hachzara, fulfilling all the t'nai hachzara, put it back for shal shudas. It's a joke how they say that a good yeshiva bacher has chalant on Thursday night and Friday night and Shabbos morning, and a good husband has chalant on Shabbos morning, Matzoi Shabbos, Sunday night. Joseph, Monday night. So he's going to have this. They're going to double dip. They're going to have both Shabbos lunch and Shal Shudas. They're going to have for both. So here, Rav Reuben raises a question of whether it would be mutter to do hachzara. So let's go through shihia. Let's see, is shihia going to be? Is there a problem over here of shihia? So if you've raised it on these rocks and you've covered the knobs, then presumably that's going to be enough. If you put anything on the bottom, then that's going to be enough in terms of creating the blech for shihia. If you haven't done any of that, then let's say you follow the more lenient opinions about a crock pot, let's say you paskin like those shitas, then covering the knobs, maybe there's enough of a room to be mangled, maybe. Yesh Lodin, that in such a case it could be that it's going to be enough. Talmidim Rav Shlomo Zalman would definitely not be happy with that. Talmidim Rav Shlomo Zalman would say that you need to do something more. So that's in regards to Shia. In regards to Hachzara, yes.
Can I just clarify what you're talking about? Crockpot.
Yes.
You talked about on the fire. I thought you're talking about electric. Is it
when I say
crockpots or on the fire?
No. I'm using a Rav Nemitzal term on a fire. That even the electric is considered on the fire. That's
the
Shita Seinum. Yeah.
I mean, still the walls are fire.
Right. So that presumably some type of heker is going to... Once you do on the bottom, l'chura. I hear. You create quite a chumrah then. I hear what you're saying. But I think on the bottom that's going to be enough. In regards to Hachzara, so here you have an interesting knesh. One of the Talmidim quoted this in the name of one of our great Rabbeim, Rabbi Willig Shlita, that it could very well be that putting it back into the crock pot is going to be an issue. If you remember, we learned that Hachzara l'toch hakira is going to be usur. And we saw that we discussed whether there's a way to get out of it in regards to an oven, and we came out l'chumra in regards to an oven, even though there is a heter. I mentioned to you that Rav Ozner and the Archa Shulchan have Yesh lefalpel on that heter. We discussed this more in the Beis Medrash, but we'll leave it at that. So l'toch hatanur is a shaila. L'ani is daiti, there's a lot of room to be machmir there. L'toch hakira is also going to be us. So the question is this considered l'toch? So Rav Reuben tries to be matzdik, and he does, I think, a good job. If you take a look at the second page in booklet number 3, so there, again, it's Rav Reuben from the back of the Sefer, where he suggests that the halacha is that any time it's not resting directly on the floor of the tanur or of the kira, poskim are mekel. And he, you could be mefakbek a little bit, but he mentions the Mishnah Brura that we had discussed in Shin Yud Ches Tzadi Dalid, that says that the moment in which you put something on the oven, on the floor of the oven, that is going to be considered enough to remove Mexican Mabasha. So he says that once you have something on the bottom of the crockpot, in such a case, that would remove the problem of Latoch Hakira. His raya that using something from the bottom is debatable. It's debatable whether that's a strong raya. But at the end of the day, that is, I'll just leave it at that, that this is what Rabbi Reuben suggests, that even putting Latoch Hakira is not going to be a problem. Once you have something on the bottom, that removes the mechzi kemevasha. It would seem to me, I'm saying the shtikl chiddush, but it would seem to me that if you put in anything else, even if it wasn't a slab of metal or a slab of tile, but you also put in rocks as well, and that will also remove the mechzi kemevasha. And once you have the knobs covered, in such a case, you remove shami chate b'gachon. But it was a nice ha'ara that is raised by some that there is a little bit of a shaila of putting it back. So once again, that's another reason to have the rocks inside or something inside, is to remove that problem of l'tocha. Good. So this b'siyata d'shmaya is the issue in regards to the crock pot. I think that we covered everything that we were supposed to in this regard. Okay, yeah.
You still need to know Chazara in that case.
Correct. Of course you would need to know Chazara. Correct. You would require Tanaya Chazar. Now, B'siyata D'Shmaya, let's begin Siman Reish Nun Ches. The Gemara tells us on Daf Mem Ches, Amid Aleph, that an interesting story, Rabba and Reb Zeira. You know what's in the booklet? I figured that since we were dealing with a lot of achronim today, some people would not have brought their Gemaras. So I photocopied the Gemara Mem Ches Amud Aleph. It's about halfway through booklet number 3. Rabba Rab Zeir Iklu Bei Reish Gnusa. Chazel Ahu Avda De Anech Kuza De Maya Apuma De Kumkuma. He went to the house of Reish Gnusa and he saw an Eved on Shabbos putting a pot on top of another pot. Nizar Rabba. Rabba was warned him, got upset at him. Amar Le Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir said, what's the problem? Maishna Mimecha Malgam Mimecha. That says in the end of Bamet Omnim that the halacha is that you're allowed to put one pot on top of the next. We had seen reference to this already. Amalei, so he responded to him something, and here there's a machlokas rishonim on how to read the Gemara. Hasam ukme kamokim, hachim ailudi kamod. Over there, in the case of the Gemara, mecham agabe mecham, you have one pot that's being put on top of another pot, and both are hot. Over here, the first pot that is hot on the fire, and the other one is cold. So then in such a case, that's going to be a problem of aludi kamot. You're being molid chom. You're being molid heat. So here, there is a very important machlokis rishon. Important just in terms of pshat. It could be in terms of halacha lemaisa lemaisa. It doesn't come up so often in our technology. But just in terms of pshat, This is a very, very important machlokas between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Balei Tosos of how to read that Gemara. What exactly is the problem? Aludei ka molid. So if you take a look, I decided instead of doing it in Tosos, because in Tosos is actually not easy at all, the best way to do it, Lanias Daiti, is through the words of the Rajba. Because the Rajba, A, summarizes the crunches Tosis very well, as well as quotes Rabbeinu Yonas. It's been a theme over here throughout the third parak, that the Rajba really crunches the Shitas. We've been consistently seeing the Rajba in terms of crunching different Shitas. And Divar Maskel, Amalei Hosim, Okme Kamokin. So again, let's remember, what was the Gemara's Teretz? The Gemara's Teretz is that if you have something cold that's being put on top of something hot, so then in such a case, that was why Rabba held that it wasn't a problem. Now, the Gemara goes on, it seems that this became machlokas between Rabba and Reb Zeira. One said that it's us, excuse me, Rava. Rava and Reb Zeira. One said that it's going to be us. Rava says us, and Reb Zeira said it's mutter. So the Rajba quotes that all the Rishonim deal with a very basic hasha. Memanav Shach asks the Rishonim, if it's going to be something that is going to heat up the food, the hot pot is going to heat up the cold pot, so then how could Rabbi Zeira be matir? If it's not going to heat up the hot pot, so then how could it be that Rava is machmir? Well, what's the shiloh over here? What's the shiloh at all? That's the Rishonim's kasha. And the Balei Tosos also deal this in a slightly more complicated way. Says the Rajba, I'll speak out the Rajba, but this is all in Divrei Maskil Amalei Hasam. Says the Rajba that the teretz is as follows. The teretz is that when it comes to the issue over here, the Balei Tosos learn that this is not a shaila of hatmana at all. This is a question of bishul. You're putting down the food in a place in which the food you intend to remove before it's going to get hot, but it might cook if you forget it there. And that's the machlokas between Rav and Reb Zeira. The machlokas is it going to be mutter to put down a pot on top of another pot that if you leave it there for an extended period of time, so then in such a case, it's going to cook. That would be the machlokas between Rav and Reb Zeira. This is very much reminiscent to the sugya of Keneged HaMedura, of putting something down Keneged HaMedura that might come to cook. That's how the Balei Tosos learn this sugya. They then connect it to the sugya of Keneged HaMedura, and then Mefalpel, v'chule, v'chule. Rabbeinu Yonah learns differently. Rabbeinu Yonah learns, this appears on the bottom of the Rajba in the second column. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the shaila over here is in regards to a special halacha in regards to hatmana, and that is that this halacha is that you're not allowed to put one pot on top of another if it's going to be moled chom into the next, outside of the halacha of of bishul. There's going to be a separate halacha of molid chom. If you're going to be molid chom, then it's going to be aser. By the way, Rabbeinu Yonah does not appear in the Beis Yosef. Does not appear in the Beis Yosef. The Pashtus of the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Bali Tosos, and the first time I learned up the sugya, it seemed to me that the sugya was entirely following the position of the Bali Tosos. However, we're going to see that the Mishnah Brura understands the Shulchan Aruch not that way. But this is, again, to crunch. In the Rajba, we have two understandings of what the issue is of putting one pot on top of another. Is it just simply a chashash of bishul? Or is there a separate iser that on Shabbos, the halacha is that you're not going to be allowed to put one pot on top of the next? So now we're ready to read Simin Reish Nun Ches with the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mechaber, Motel Aniach Mevod Yom, Kli Sheyesh Bo Dover Kar, you're not allowed to put, when it's still daytime, a kli that is cold, Al Gabi Kederacham, Gabi Kederacham, you're allowed to, She'ein Zeh Ketomein, Bedover Hamosif Hevel. It's not considered as doing Hatmana Bedover Hamosif Hevel by putting one pot on top of the next. Why? So Mishnah Berurah explains very beautifully on the last two words on page 58. Delo Chashiv HaKedera KeGefes. It's not, the Kedera is not considered Gefes and something that's Mosif Hevel. So the only Shaila Erev Shabbos, of course, is to do Hatmana with something that's Mosif Hevel underneath. And says the Mishnah Berurah, in such a case, that's not going to be considered Mosif Hevel. Because the Kedera does not have a Hevel Me'atzma. The Adarabba Kol Shach Chuma Mismach V'holda. At all times, the heat of the pot is going down. It's not getting hotter. So therefore, it's not considered Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel. So this is the basic halacha in regards to one pot on top of the other on Erev Shabbos. However, the Mishnah Berurah then paskins like Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, V'dafka laniach three lines from the top on page 59. V'dafka laniach hadover karm avodion. Aval lanicho b'shabbos ala kedera tachas akisu b'godim she'aleh she'ischamem asur. On Shabbos, that's going to be asur. V'afilu einachom kol kach she'ochol love all the day, Yad Soda this book. I had a hard time reading this Mishnah Berurah because I learned the way I tell the Avrichim the way you're supposed to learn, and that is first learn Tur Beis Yosef. The simple reading of Tur Beis Yosef I thought was not this way at all, but Moran HaChavetz Chaim doesn't think so. Moran HaChavetz Chaim thinks that the way he learned fits into the Beis Yosef. If you take a look in Ber Alocha Dibra Maskel Shein Zeh Ketome, that the Gra and Machtzis HaShekel, the Gra learns this way, Bedas HaMechaber, and that's how the Ber Halacha does. The Prima Gadim learns the way I had understood, but that's not important because at the end of the day, you have the Mishnah Berurah's Havana, and this is going to be Halacha. So what emerges? What's the crunch? The crunch is that there is a Halacha of doing Hatmana onto a pot, that the pot is going to be Mosif Chom onto the other pot, that is going to be Aser. And that's like the Rabbeinu Yonah that we saw in the Rajba in terms of how to explain the Gemara, that there's a new halacha called molid chom, that if you're molid chom, that is going to be something that is problematic. Okay, so this is the basics of where the Mishnah Berurah starts in Simin Reish Nun Ches. Yes, Shem?
Wouldn't this only be if you hold that one of Mitzvahs and Aser? Meaning for Ashkenazim, this would be totally what they're doing? Anyway.
We're talking about now that you were mat, that you then cover it with the with.
What was his question?
The question was, what happens if you cover it with if you don't cover it entirely with blankets? If you don't cover it entirely with blankets, it's going to be mutter. Take a look in Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. Aval anicho b'shas akeder tachas hakisu abgadim shelo
sheyischamei.
Okay. You're right. It wasn't mafurish in the mechaber. I could see why that's confusing.
Well, that's why. I mean, when he says aser regardless, even without tachas,
no. Take a look, and even in Beis, she'ain zeh kedam ratzlam. I feel kisa azak kli v'akdera b'begadim. Everything was talking about that the kedera was covered b'begadim. In both cases, it's not the. It's, you're right. It's not the simple reading of the shulchan. It is. You're right. It's vague. That's why important. You have a shaila. We want to know whether a pot. We're talking about regular hatmana. But instead of it being on the fire, it's sitting on top of another pot.
But I'm saying even without the begadim, it would be also according to the Mechaber, no?
Lav dafka, no. No, not according to the way the Mishnah Berurah understood it, no.
Meaning, isn't that?
No, because you need to do atmana. If you, even if you have something on top of the Dovra Mosef Hevel, if you're not doing hatmana, then there's no shiloh hatmana. The only time you have a shiloh hatmana is when you have the kisa begadim on top. And einachanami, that's what's going on in the Gemara as well. Now, in the Mishnah Berurah, over here in Sifkat and Beis, he raises an entirely new issue. And that is the issue of doing hatmana in water. So let's take a look. Anybody? Let's talk about scheduling for a minute, because this is going to connect to whether I go on. Anybody have a preference in terms of whether we stop here? I'll tell you in terms of scheduling. Rabbi Sion had mentioned maybe it's kedai for us to stop. Did you have in mind just to have a quiz or also to have?
I was just asking if people want, like, maybe just like
a chazar. Not to break the schedule.
I'm just asking if people were interested, maybe like a schedule.
The quiz. It'll be my pleasure, because we're going to be wrapping up Shia Hazara Nachalich Atchilan Atmana. So I think a quiz might help. That's Aleph. Bayes is whether to push ahead today more. How many people have a preference, whether to stop or to go ahead? How many people would prefer to stop? That's fine. How many people prefer to go ahead? Okay, that's a close call. So maybe what we'll do is we'll stop over here, and then we'll continue with Hatmana B'mayim Mirtz Hashem on Thursday. And so this way, I'll give a little bit more time for a quiz as well. Anybody that's interested in joining me and Rabban Sion in writing questions for Chazara questions, that would be fantastic. And then, so I think then the game plan would be that we would wrap up Hatmana on Thursday, no pun intended, and then on Monday, Emir Zishem begin Bishul. Does that sound good? Okay, fantastic. So let me just give you a little bit of direction as far as to take a look. It's on the end of the cover page over here. Is I want you to take a look at the Gemara on Lamed Tes Amid Beis on the Maisa Shasu Anshe Tveria in regards to Hatmana B'mayim and the Rana Daf Yud Ches Amid Aleph, and then immediately to the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish, and that's going to take us to the Suvi. Is that how you pronounce it? The Shiloh of the Suvi. I gave you a interesting heter in the back of your booklet. A heter that I'd like to hear what you have to say as far as that's concerned. Okay. Continue steigen. Yes.
In the case we were just discussing, Ration and Gimel, isn't the Chaver Machriyah, isn't he called Hatmana even with...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.